Okay, this morning turn to John's Gospel. Chapter 3. We are continuing with our thoughts on God's ultimates. We began with God's ultimate person was Jesus. The ultimate event in human history was his death on the cross. And the ultimate, the greatest message ever told, last week we talked about the good news of Christ's salvation, the gospel message that we preach. And today we're looking at the subject, God's ultimate gift, the best gift that was ever offered. We all like gifts. I like gifts. I like birthdays. I like Christmas. I like Father's Day. Any excuse for a gift, bring it on. I like gifts. My family will testify to this fact. But there was a gift above all gifts. And we read about that in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world. And you can put your name there. Every one of us. When it says there that God so loved the world, it's not talking about the planet. Okay? It's not talking about the ground and the trees and the mountains. God saw they were good and he said it's good. When he created, he said it's all good. But he doesn't love it in that sense. And so where it says God so loved the world, it means the people of the world. The inhabitants of the world, you and I, human beings, those people that were made by God in the image of God for friendship with God, for fellowship with God. That's why we were created. And so God so loved the world, you and me, we can put our name there. God so loved Nina. God so loved John. God so loved Joe that he gave his one and only son, the Lord Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So there is a gift greater than any gift that's ever been given. And there's been some magnificent gifts given in human history. Some wonderful things have been given over the years by people. Some beautiful gifts given by husbands to wives and wives to husbands. Some wonderful things given for birthdays and Christmases. And even beyond that, we look at the sacrifice that people have made one for another. People who have sown their lives for other people. People who've even given their lives for others. But here, the Bible says that God gives us the ultimate gift of his own person, his son, the Lord Jesus, that whoever believes in him doesn't have to die. Now, the Bible says, you see, you have to match scripture with scripture. When it says that we don't have to perish, we don't have to die, the Bible also says that it's given to every man to die. So there has to be a day when this physical body that we live in dies. That has to be. It is written, you know. It's the natural way of things that this body has to die. But the God part of us, the spirit part of us, doesn't have to die. We don't have to perish. We don't have to go into an eternity that is separated from the love of God. We don't have to go into an eternity where there is no good thing, because that is what hell is. Everything that is good will be in heaven, because the Bible says that God is the giver of all good gifts. So everything good will be in heaven, and so everything bad will be in that lost eternity. You see, if it was bad, it can't go to heaven, because heaven is all good. There is no sin, there is no wrong. The Bible says there's no pain, there's no death, there's no sorrow, there's no tears. Heaven is a place of perfection, and so nothing bad can go there. Makes sense, doesn't it? If something bad entered heaven, it would no longer be heaven. Think about it. People say, oh, God will never send anyone to a lost eternity. He's a God of love. But the fact is this, that God cannot allow anything into heaven that is not pure, that is not clean, that is not spotless, is not good and wonderful. Otherwise, heaven is tainted and it's no longer heaven. And so, we find the remedy. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die what the Bible calls the second death. We die once. Everybody will die once. But the second death is that separation from everything good, from God, from love, from joy and peace, and all the things that God offers. That separation from everything good. See, we have to, we like to preach, you know, that God is love and God will bless and God wants to help you and God does want to do all those things. But we also have to preach the truth of what the Bible teaches us. And the Bible teaches us that if we refuse the gift, then we refuse God. And we open ourselves up for a lost eternity. And that's what Jesus taught. Now you can take that and make of that whatever you want. But Jesus taught this. These are the words of Jesus. You know, it's not the tradition of a church. It's not somebody's creed. It's not somebody's idea of how it should be. It's not somebody's book. These are the words of Jesus. That if we believe in him, we are not condemned. And it's not by being good or trying to be good. It's not by giving to charity. It's not even by coming to church. It's by believing in him. That's the key. We can't stress this enough today. When people are into religion, people all over the world are into religion. Of one sort or another. My old boss, when I used to work at Stirling Cables, my old boss, he'd fought in the Second World War. He was an old man. He's probably, I imagine he's probably died by now. Otherwise, he'd have been in his 90s. But he used to say to me, religion is the cause of every war. And every bad thing in the world has come from religion. And he wasn't far wrong. You can't argue with that. There's a war going on in Afghanistan today. Our soldiers are dying, and that war is caused by religion. The Second World War had religion behind it. Every major event in human history, when we think about the Crusades and all those things, they all had religion behind them. But you see, Jesus is not talking about religion. He's talking about a relationship with him. He says, believe in me. Not believe in a code or a creed, believe in me. And if we believe in him, we shall not perish, but we'll have eternal life. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. Praise the Lord. What a gift. Can anybody give a gift greater than eternal life? No. And only God can offer that gift, and he offers us that gift through his Son, the Lord Jesus, the greatest gift ever offered, eternal life in Christ Jesus. Turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Verse 23. Very famous, well-quoted verse. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. What a gift. When we go to work each week, each day, we expect to be paid a wage, whether it's at the end of the week or more commonly now at the end of the month. It's funny, isn't it? But we never see our money anymore. When I first started at Stirling's, I used to get a wage packet and you used to count the notes. Not anymore, do you? It just goes in, it's all credits. We never see any money till you go to the hole in the wall and put your number in. It's a strange thing, but we expect to be paid. We expect that at the end of the month, when our statement drops through the door, that there will be a payment made by whoever we're working for our services rendered. And we would be very upset if it wasn't there. Now, the Bible says that we're all earning wages, but the problem is that when we do wrong, we're earning death. Now, that's a horrible thought. It's like every wrong thing we do just pushes us further down, further into the mud, further into the mire. Every wrong thing, every wrong thought, every wrong action, every wrong motive, every jealous thought, every impure thought just separates us further from God. It puts another brick in the wall between us and our Father. The Bible says that our sins and our transgressions simply means the things that we do, we transgress, we do wrong. Those things have built a wall between us and God. And they separate us from the love of God. They separate us from our Father. And we earn that. We cause that. God doesn't do that. We cause that. We make those bricks. We build that wall by the wrong things that we do. And so if we carry on living without God, without Jesus, continue in that way, continue on that road, just living for ourselves, then we build up the wages of sin, which leads ultimately to that second death, separation from God and everything good. But and I'm glad there's a but there in the Bible. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's a gift. Now, you don't earn a gift. Amen? You don't earn, if you earned it, it's wages. But a gift comes because of the love and good wishes of the giver. We don't earn it. Sometimes we don't even deserve it. But because somebody loves us, they give us a gift. And the fact is this, that we could never earn the love of God. We could never, ever do enough to tip the balance. You know, some people today are under the notion that if they do enough good deeds, somehow it will outweigh the bad deeds and will tip the scales in their favor so that when they meet God on that last day, that they'll be able to point to the good things that they've done and somehow God will ignore their sin, the wrong things that they've done. And so people try to be good, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to be good. But we can't earn God's favor. Because the Bible says that our best efforts to please God in our own strength are like filthy rags. That's our best efforts are like filthy rags in the sight of God. They make us dirty and smelly and unpresentable to a holy, spotless, white, wonderful God. We can't come near him because of the garment of sin that we wear, because of that brick wall that we've built between us and God. And so God says, okay, I will give it to you. Because you can't earn it, because you'll never do it on your own, I am going to give you the gift. And so, back in the mists of time, the Bible says, before the world was even created, in the mind and the foreknowledge of God, Jesus died on the cross. Before the world was created, the Bible says, the Son of God slain before the foundation of the world. That's Jesus. And so before God even made this world, he put into practice, he put into operation his plan of salvation, his gift. And then finally Jesus came physically, as we discussed a few weeks ago, and left everything behind. All the glory of his position as co-equal with God the Father. He left it all behind and came, the Bible says, came, became a servant, became obedient even unto the death of a cross. And that was God's gift to you and I. His Son. That's why we give gifts at Christmas, to celebrate the gift that God gave. Love came down and dwelt amongst us for 33 years. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own didn't want him. But he came, and he offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. Would you be free from your burden of sin? We sang it. There's power in the blood. Not the blood of the lamb, not a lamb. That's Old Testament. The Lamb of God, the Bible says. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. There's power in his blood. And there's no way round that. If we don't accept that, then we can't call ourselves Christian this morning. Because these are the words of Jesus. You know, last week, as part of the Alpha course that we're doing on a Sunday night, those words of C.S. Lewis were quoted. You know, that Jesus is either the biggest liar, cheat, and con man that ever lived, or he's the Son of God. But there's no in between. You know, he didn't give us the option of saying that he was a good man. He didn't even give us the option of saying he was a prophet. He was either who he claimed to be, the Son of God, or he was an absolute fraud. There's no middle ground. Because if he's the Son of God, he is who he says he is, and he died for our sin, and he made that way to heaven. He became God's gift. If he's a fraud, then he's not a good man, is he? He's deceiving people. See, there's no way that we can put Jesus in a box and say, oh, well, he was a good man. You can't do that. If you study the claims of Jesus Christ, he was either the Son of God or he was a fraud. And you have to decide in your own mind and spirit whether we accept the gift. Or we say no. Whether we say yes, I believe, I believe in Jesus. I believe in him. I believe he came. I believe he died. I believe he rose again. I believe he's making a place in heaven for me. And I believe that if I believe in him, that despite my faults, despite the things that I've done wrong, despite my sin, that because of him, because of his death, because of his blood, that when I see God on that final day, God will say to me, "Welcome in, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. Not because of our efforts, but because of his efforts. Not because of our plans, but because of God's plan. See, let's read that again. For the wages of sin is death. So if we carry on in our life without God, we are heaping up the wages of death. But the gift of God is eternal life, and that life comes in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. What a gift. God looked down on this helpless society that we're part of, and he gave us his best. This is my son. Believe in him. Listen to him. When he was baptized, the Lord Jesus, and came up out of the water, the voice of God spoke to those who were listening. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Hear what he's teaching. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." He didn't say, "I'm one of the ways." He didn't say, "I'm some of the truth." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus says that without him, there is no way to heaven, there is no truth in our life, and there is no life in what we're doing now without him. That's the claim of Christ. Again, you have to say, well, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to me? The way, the truth, the life, the gift of God. 2 Corinthians, go over the page. Chapter 9. Verse 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 9, 14 and 15. And their prayers for you, in their prayers for you. See, the Apostle Paul's talking to the church here in Corinth, the Corinthian Christians. And he's talking about people who are praying for them. That's good to know, isn't it, that people pray for us. It's good that we pray for others and that others pray for us. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What a gift. Praise the Lord. The gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God. The grace of God. You see, grace is one of those words that has changed its meanings over the years. When we talk about grace today, we think about somebody who is elegant. Perhaps we would talk about a dancer or a ballerina or something. Oh, isn't she graceful? Well, that's not the Bible meaning of the word grace. When the Bible talks about grace, the grace of God, it's talking about the love and the favor and the blessing of God that God gives us even though we don't deserve it. That's the grace of God. The Bible says that he lavishly pours it on us. Lavishly. That means there's a lot of it. And God loves to pour out his grace, his favor, his blessing, his love, his mercy. All the good things that God has to offer are all bound up, wrapped up in that one word, grace. The grace of God. The love of God that came to you and to me and to this world of ours through Jesus. Thanks be to God. You see, it talks about a surpassing grace. Surpassing. That means it goes beyond. It's more than. If it surpasses, it's more than. You know, if I was to take this cup this morning and fill it to the brim, it would be full. But if I filled it beyond the brim, it would pour out and it would run out down the sides and it would cover whatever table I had the cup stood on. It would be surpassed. It would be more than. And that's how the grace of God is to us today. The love of God, it's bigger than we can contain. It's more than we can contain in our lives. It surpasses knowledge, the Bible says. There is a peace that comes into the hearts of those who love the Lord that is beyond understanding. There are things that happen in our life that are not good. We know that. Things that are difficult, things that are traumatic, things that are problematic. But there is a peace, the Bible says, that goes beyond human comprehension, beyond human understanding. And it's part of the grace of God. It's part of this wonderful package that we get. When Jesus comes and lives in our life by his Spirit. The gift of God. The surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. How can you describe something that's perfect? That's given to us. Freely given. But like every gift, it has to be received. It has to be taken. When we offer a gift, the person that we're offering it to has to take it and say thank you and unwrap it. Wow. That's just what I always wanted. Another pair of socks. I tell you, if you were a Romanian child in one of those villages that we go to and you unwrapped a pair of socks, you have a beam on, you know, we're ruined here, aren't we? Well, that's us, isn't it? Oh, another pair of socks. Thank you. Sometimes we get gifts that really make us smile. Wow, fantastic. But we have to receive it. We have to take it. We have to read the label. You know? To John, with love. If it's from my wife, it usually says, with all my love. I like that. Amen. To Dad, with love. Wait till my granddaughter's old enough to start buying me prezzies. Yeah. To granddad with love. Wonderful. See, you look at the label, you find out who sent the gift. Who sent the gift? Who loves me enough to buy me a gift? So you look at the label. Well, the label here says, to you, to Kevin, to Gary, to Wendy, love from your heavenly Father, God. Praise the Lord. That's who it's from. So first of all, you look at the label. It's from God. This is from God himself. And it's for me. It's got my name on it. For God so loved me that he gave. And so you then, you begin to unwrap the gift and you see what's in the box. And when we unwrap the gift that God has given us, we find His Son, the Lord Jesus, who says, "Believe in me, you'll have eternal life. You don't need to fear death. You don't need to fear what's beyond. The greatest and last enemy of mankind is death. We can't get round it. We can't cheat it. Michael Jackson found that out. Michael Jackson spent most of his life trying to cheat death, trying to keep himself young, keep himself like a child. I can only imagine that he had a terrible fear of dying, that he spent so much time and effort trying to live forever. There is a fear that grips people when we talk about death. What's beyond? Is anything beyond? Is this the end? Is it just oblivion? Or is there something beyond this? The great fear. Dennis Collins was telling me on Friday, it was at the increase meeting on Friday at Emmaus, Dennis was telling me about a man that he's been visiting in hospital, a man who's been a preacher all his life, and he's in hospital now, and he is so afraid to die. He's preached this word all his life, and yet he's reached his old age, and he is so frightened. He won't go to sleep because he feels like he won't wake up. You see, he's never received the gift. You can have all the religion in the world and still be afraid to die. But when we've received the gift and we unwrap the gift and we see that it's from God and it's got my name on it, and Jesus speaks those words to us from the box, if you like. "Hello, I'm Jesus. I'm God's Son. If you accept me, you'll have an eternal life. You'll live forever. And on that day, I'll present you before my Father in heaven. Spotless, clean, wonderful. In fact, you'll be like me." Because the Bible says that when we see him, we shall be like him. No wonder the Apostle Paul said it was an indescribable gift. And so every single one of us are in that position this morning. What do we do with the gift that God offers? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And just go back again over the page into Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. The Apostle Paul here, talking to the church at Rome, he says, "What then shall we say in response to this?" That's a good question, isn't it? What then shall we say in response to this? Now, when we see the Lord, and everyone will see God, the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So when we see God on that last day, that final day when all the books are opened and time is no more, the Bible says God has already set the day when he's going to judge the world. So it's going to happen. So on that day, God is not going to ask us to bring our CV. It's the thing today, isn't it? Never had such a thing when I was looking for a job. A CV? What's one of them? Everybody has a CV now of their talents, don't they? And the more jobs you've done, the longer your CV is. But when we see him on that last day, God is not going to ask us for our CV. How did you do? How many people did you help? How much did you give to charity? How many times did you go to church? How many times did you break bread? How long did you pray for? Were you nice to that pastor? God is not going to ask us any of those questions. The one question God will ask is, what did you do with my gift? What did you do with my son? Did you accept him as Lord and Savior? Or did you say, I don't need that? I did it my way. I don't need that. I can do this on my own. I don't need that gift. That's the one question. That's the eternal question, the biggest question. What then shall we say in response to this? That's what the Apostle Paul said. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The Bible says that God has given us all things we need to live this life in a godly and a good way. All things given for life and for godliness. God has given it. He's given us the ability. He's given us the power. So what shall we say? Shall we accept it? Shall we say, yes, Lord, that's for me. I want your gift in my life. I accept the gift of your son. Or do we continue to do it our way and build bricks in the wall that separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? These are questions that we've all faced at some point in our life. For many of us, maybe all of us here today, we've come to that conclusion that Jesus is the best gift that was ever given, God's ultimate gift. And we took that gift and we unwrapped it and we applied it to our life. And we said, yes, I believe. And we've been enjoying the life that Jesus offers ever since. The peace that comes from knowing him. But maybe there's somebody here this morning and you've never unwrapped the gift. Maybe you've never even heard that there was a gift before. I don't know. It's amazing how some people can be in church all their life and never unwrap the gift. My grandmother, on my dad's side, was a case in point. Grandma Addison. Grandma Addison was an old lady. She'd been in church all her life. Wendy will back me up on this. All her life, Grandma Addison had gone to church. Every Sunday, faithfully, gone down Fernhead Lane to the Methodist, the Independent Methodist Chapel, where my dad was the pastor when we were youngsters. Every week, faithfully, morning and evening, sang in the choir, did all those good things. And yet, in the very last years of her life, in fact, in the very last weeks of her life, she got sick. And she realized, I don't know the Lord. I've been in church all my life. I've listened to this message every week because it was faithfully preached. Every week I've listened to that message. But I don't know the Lord. And she had no peace at the end of her life. And fortunately, well, in the grace of God, I should say, not fortunately, in the grace of God, because this is how much God loves us, that within a few weeks of her death, we had what we call a mission on at the church, where a man who is very skilled at preaching the message of the gospel came along, and he preached all week. Now, my grandmother was ill, so she didn't make any of those meetings. But my dad took this man, Melvin, his name was, and Melvin went to the house and he prayed with my grandma, and she opened her heart and unwrapped the gift. And within a few weeks, she was dead. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. You see, we can know all about it, but if we don't take it and make it ours, then it's of no avail. You know, it's like, this is a worldly illustration, but it's like knowing all about what we can get as benefits from social services, but being too proud to put the form in. Amen? And some people are like that, aren't they? Being too proud to put the form in. Seems to me today there's a benefit for everything. You know? One day they'll have a broken cat's leg benefit or something. They will. There's a benefit for everything. But you've got to apply for it. You've got to say, I want that. I need that. That's got to be mine. And unless we apply for it, we don't get it. There's an old saying in the world, if you don't ask, you don't get. And that's how it is with the gift of God. We can know all about it. We can have read books on it. We can have had lectures on it. We can have thought about it and considered it. But until we take it and say it's mine, then it isn't. And we're lost in trespasses and sin. But when we get to that point where we realize the one thing I need in my life above everything else is peace with God, and that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. And so if there's somebody in here today, and time has beaten us, and you've never unwrapped the gift, maybe you've known about it and heard about it and thought about it, and realized even that you need it, but you've never actually made that commitment and said, that's for me. I need Jesus in my life. Well, it's simple. God does everything simply because he knows he's dealing with people. And we need simple, don't we? We don't need philosophy. We don't need religion. We don't need rules and regulations. We need simple. Something we can trust in. Something we can believe in. And so he says it's simple. He said, just ask. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it shall be given you. And that's all we've got to do is ask. That's what Jesus said. Ask of me, he says. And of course we do that by prayer. And so I just want every head to bow and every eye to be closed as we consider these things. What shall we say to this? That's the words that we read there from the Apostle Paul. What shall we say to this? In the light of everything that we've heard this morning about the gift of God, what shall we say to this? And if there's somebody here today and you say, yes, I want to open my life. I want to unwrap the gift and invite that gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become part of my life, to become my Lord. I want to follow him. I want to apply his teachings and his love and his grace in my life, in my circumstances. If that's you this morning, just simply say, Lord Jesus, I accept the gift that you offer. I thank you that you left heaven and came and was born as that baby in that smelly stable all those years ago. Lord Jesus, you became the greatest gift that has ever been given to me. And I take you now as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to break down the wall of sin that separates me from your Father God. To wash away all those things that I've done wrong under the flow of the blood that you shed on the cross. Come into my life and live with me forever. And on that last day when I meet with God, bring me in because of your rightness and your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being that gift. Thank you, Father God, for sending him. I accept the gift. The gift of God is eternal life. From this time on, Father God, I believe that I have your eternal life in my heart. That when I see you, I'll be like you. And I'll be in that place where everything is good and everything is wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. Amen.